It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Mondays during the legislative session, my colleague Joyce Russell and I like to track activity at the State House. That's what we're doing today in the first half hour. We heard Joyce talk with Governor Branstad in a conversation recorded last Friday. And Joyce, this half hour, we want to focus on education because there's a holdup there with the state education budget. It's not been finalized, forcing schools to consider layoffs and vacancies in teaching positions for the coming year. Here's just one example, Joyce. I found the Southeast Warren School District in the Quad Cities area is preparing the worst-case scenario by giving all its employees pink slips. This is 100 staff members in the district notified their contracts are not being renewed as part of a worst-case scenario budget put together by the district's leaders there. Certainly not an isolated case in the state. By law, certified public employees have to be notified by the end of April if their contract is not going to be renewed. Joyce, we have several lawmakers, a couple of lawmakers there at the State House Law Library to ask about the education budget. But before we do, give us an overview of what's been happening up to now in the legislature with the education budget and why it's so late.
Well, this is a symptom of a divided legislature. This has happened before where Democrats in the Democratic-controlled Senate and Republicans in the Republican-controlled House have different views on how much to raise basic state school aid next year, and so far they have not been able to come to terms. I noticed that the ISEA, they tweeted a picture, and they've got their offices here in Ames. They've got pink slips in the window. Mm-hmm. The schools are making a concerted effort to get more funding than what the Republicans are proposing. But I should say that this has happened before where the deadlines have not been met. Schools have had to lay teachers off, as you said, based on a worst-case scenario. Then many times those teachers are hired back later.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So also the big picture here is that Iowa spends almost $3 billion. $2.9 billion is the figure I have on K through 12 education. Democrats, is this a difference, Joyce? Democrats want to add an additional $150 million for the next school year. Republicans say they will only increase it to $100 million. And that's the sticking point, or is there any other nuance there?
Well, I've got the experts here, but okay. I think that's roughly okay. Correct. There's a wider difference earlier. Democrats have backed off of their number. So, you know, and it's interesting that you should say that because out of $3 billion, $150 doesn't sound like so much, but it's we're talking about significant dollars per student, and that's what schools are concerned about.
With you at the State House Law Library, we are pleased to be joined by Senator Herman Kornbach, a Democrat representing District 23 in Ames, and also Representative Chuck Soderberg, Republican representing District 5 in Lamars. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us.
You're quite welcome. Thanks for having us.
Okay, so tell us, what is the situation? How close are you to your two parties, respectively, close to finding a compromise? Representative Soderberg.
Well, if you look at the differences right now in the Senate counter-offer proposal of an increase of 2.625%, the House is at 1.25%. And I think you have to dig deeper into that. If you look at the 1.25% increase that the House has proposed, plus the teacher leadership compensation, which is based on a per-student basis, the total increase in the appropriation is $99.8 million. The original 4% proposal that the Senate Democrats proposed would increase the spending by $210.2 million. Keeping in mind that if you look at what we spent last year versus the new revenue estimate that the Revenue Estimating Conference provided us March 19th, we have $180.9 million of new money to spend for fiscal year 16.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, because you were working off of newer figures than we heard the governor was when he had his education budget put forward in January. So, Senator Kornbach, is that pretty much the way you see it, or do you see you eventually closing the gap here quickly?
Well, let's back off a little bit and talk about the need here. Iowa is currently 35th in the nation in per pupil funding, 35th. We're $1,600 per child below the national average. So 1.25% increase that House Republicans are proposing only gets it at about $80 of that $1,600. That's not really any progress. In fact, at 1.25, they're not even keeping up with inflation. And if you look over the last couple of decades, our ranking relative to other states in terms of per pupil funding has been sliding and sliding and sliding. And almost in parallel lockstep, our test scores relative to other states have been sliding and sliding and sliding. So we've been sliding towards mediocrity for a long time. It's time to turn it around. Our kids deserve more. The difference right now between the House and the Senate amounts to about $55 million. Put that in context, we have reserve funds for the state of $700 million, fully 10% of the state budget. On top of that, at the end of this fiscal year, we will carry forward almost $400 million in general fund surplus. Put that together, at June 30th, we're likely to have about $1.1 billion in the bank. Republicans say they can't afford another $55 million. I think that tells you something about their priorities.
Just to clarify that, Senator Kornbach, the $700 million in reserve, that's statutory, isn't it?
That's
and
right.
It's really only the $400 million that you feel like you can tap.
Well, you compare the overall spending levels that have been proposed by Senate Democrats, and they are to the penny the same as what the governor has proposed. So there's bipartisan agreement between the Republican governor and the Senate Democrats. Actually, Democrats, I shouldn't speak for House Democrats, but we're broadly in agreement there on a bipartisan basis with what the overall spending number should be. The difference, we have a little difference with the governor as to how we spend the money. But as far as fiscal responsibility is concerned, if you're going to say the governor is responsible, then you got to say that Senate Democrats are also fiscally responsible in what we're proposing.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I'm right, the Republicans' K-12 spending is the same as what the governor's K-12 spending is the same as what the House Republicans are offering. And so, Senator Kornbach, aren't you kind of going to be outnumbered here? I mean, what kind of bargaining position do you bring there?
I respectfully disagree with that. The overall spending number that the governor has proposed, the Senate Democrats have adopted that. There's bipartisan agreement there. The House Republicans are the ones who are out of step there. Now, within that spending target, yes, we put more emphasis on education. Those are our priorities. Those are our values. Our kids are our future.
I wanted to have Representative Soderberg answer Senator Kornbach said about Iowa schools sliding into mediocrity. Do you see that more funding will prevent that slide, or do you agree with the fact that characterization of Iowa schools sliding into mediocrity?
I think that's a very good question, and it's somewhat subjective. I think if you look at the funding that has been we have adopted it and approved over the last 2 years. We've approved 4% each year. That's because we did have the additional revenue. I think you also have to incorporate the cost of living in here. Cost of living in Iowa is not what it is in California. And if you look at the cost of living, Iowa has the benefit of being the 14th cheapest state to live in. So, you know, is 35th or is 25th the average in that respect? You would have to incorporate the cost of living.
So you're saying because our cost of living is much less, then our education cost should be much less, so we shouldn't look at it the way it was described by Senator Kornbach?
Well, if you look at the increases that have occurred over the last couple of years, and if we continue to slide, when we provide supplemental state aid at 4% increase over the last 2 years, then logic would tell you that maybe it's not the dollars, and that's why we incorporated the education reform 2 years ago to address that in a different manner than just the dollars. And looking at, I have to incorporate what Senator Kornbach said, the 1.25 does not even keep up with inflation. the Bureau of Labor Statistics for the Midwest, which Iowa uses over the last 12 months, is minus 2.66% inflation. And so we have increased that by 1.25, but the argument is we have to keep up with inflation. If that's the case, it would be a minus of 2.66.
And very briefly, Senator Kornbach, what do you say to the cost of living argument on this?
Well, I'm an economist by training and an economics professor at Iowa State, so I could get into a lot of nitty-gritty details on that. I would suggest to you that if you take out the effect of the fall of gasoline prices, you're going to see a positive effect on inflation. Usually you take out the non-volatile items like food and gasoline. And when you take those out, you know, what you're seeing is continued inflation. It is modest, but it is more than 1.25%. You know, nobody says here that we have to be number one in school funding. But listen to what Representative Soderberg is debating. He's debating whether we're 25th or 35th or 37th. He's debating whether we should be in the bottom quarter or only in the bottom half. I don't think that that's the kind of debate that Iowans expect for their schools. We want to be in the top 10.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, K-12 schools isn't the only area of disagreement when it comes to education. House Republicans have recommended no increase for the Regents universities. I'm sure Senator Kornbach has a view about that, but what's your rationale on that, Representative Soderberg?
Well, I think you have to go back and look at the new revenue that we have to spend. Obviously, with $180.9 million of new ongoing revenue, and, you know, we're not going to fall in the trap of using one-time money to fund ongoing programs. That's what's happened several times over the recent past. The last one was October 8th of 2009 when we had a 10% across-the-board cut. With the concerns of the ag economy, we've all seen layoffs. The avian flu is another example of concern and caution. We're trying to balance an ongoing budget with ongoing revenue. With $100 million carved off the top for K-12, we have a lot of cost with Medicaid increases. We're addressing that through cost containment and managed care. There's a lot of other things too. The education reform piece, we have to pay for that. So we're trying to balance the ongoing expenditures with the ongoing revenue.
Well, very briefly, can we expect a tuition freeze if we don't give the universities an increase in funding? Representative Soderberg, and then very briefly, yeah. And then Senator Kornbach.
I think that's a great question for the Regents, Board of Regents. If you look at the cost containment initiatives, what they've done is they've tried to reduce the expenditures, reduce the cost of the Regent universities. I think there's an opportunity to provide a freeze within the savings of that program.
Senator Kornbach.
Oh, I just couldn't agree at all with that statement. The Regents Universities, they've said that they need a 1.75% increase in order to avoid a tuition increase. In other words, it's the same deal as the last couple of years when we've frozen tuition. If the state increases its support, then they don't have to ask students and their parents for more. And 1.75%, again, is barely at the level of inflation. The House is proposing zero increase. For UNI, zero increase. For Iowa State, zero increase. Actually, some cuts for the University of Iowa. It really would be quite impossible for them to afford a tuition freeze. Again, what we have here is bipartisan agreement between Senate Democrats and the Republican governor. Both of us, both sides there, have gotten on board supporting the tuition freeze and the money needed to make it possible. House Republicans are, again, the odd man out.
Very briefly, when was the last time the Regents got no increase in their basic funding, either of you? Has that ever happened in recent years?
Well, because of the Bush recession a couple of years ago, we had to slash budgets across the entire state government. And the Regents universities still, although we put back some of that money, we are still $95 million below where we were pre-recession. So the fact that we've been able to freeze tuition the last couple of years has been really quite remarkable. The universities just, well, at Iowa State, I mean, Joyce, you live in Ames, the town is crowded. We have about 9,000 more students over the last 8 years. We're running out of space. We need to hire more faculty. We need more lab time, more computers. We just need that increase to keep the quality up for the higher enrollment.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Senator Herman Kornbach, you're just listening to there. Representative Chuck Soderberg, a Republican from Lamar, is joining us as well. We're going to say goodbye to Representative Soderberg. Thank you very much for joining us. We have one other item to get to this hour as we track goings on at the legislature. Joyce Russell with me. I'm Ben Kiefer. We wanted to tackle, Joyce, briefly online schools. This is something that's being debated here in the last part of the session. Something called the Virtual Academy Program, and a lot of Iowans listening will not know what that is. Can you tell us before we find out what's going on with the legislature?
Well, very briefly, there are two online schools that are run by for-profits. They're in connection with school districts, one in eastern Iowa, one in western Iowa. They are run by for-profit companies. They are 100% online schools, although they are, as I said, connected with school districts. Under Iowa law, these are supposed to sunset this year. A bill in the Iowa House extended that sunset, but so far, at least technically, the bill didn't make the funnel, and so far the Senate has not taken it up. So the question really is whether we're even going to let those two online schools continue.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's listen to Senator Kornbach. You have a proposal here to do something besides what's currently happening?
Well, we've been supporting for the last couple of years an initiative called Iowa Learning Online. It's through the State Department of Education. They are tasked with developing or acquiring access to online coursework. Now, let's stipulate something. There are some kids who need online education, and for a variety of different reasons. There's no question about the goal. That's a service that we ought to offer. Mm-hmm. The question is about the means to that goal. And the virtual academies that have been set up have a very spotty record. Some kids have benefited from it. That's no question about it. I've talked to some of their parents. But last year, the dropout rate during the school year was 30%. And at the end of the school year, 26% more failed to return for this fall. So when you have about half of the people who've been enrolled dropping out either during the year or between years, that ought to set up a red flag about the quality of that program.
Okay, Senator Kornbach, we have a red flag as far as time is going. Give me in a minute, why is this alternative better than the virtual academy? And then we need to give Representative Greg Forrestal, who's with us, a chance to respond.
Well, I think the dropout rate is the key thing. Also, the online academies, they provide no opportunity for participation in team sports or choir or band or orchestra, anything like that. But I will say this. I've talked with Representative Jorgensen, who chairs the House Education Committee, and I've offered some terms on which we could extend the virtual academies for another year or two. So far, he hasn't been willing to negotiate on that, but the door is still open.
Okay. Give us your reaction. Greg Forrestal joining us, Republican from District 22.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm very familiar and supportive of the Iowa Online from the Iowa Department. And the one problem with that, though, is it only has high school courses. It does not have the elementary, the courses that are needed and are provided by the other two providers. We knew from day one that only a few special students would benefit from this. Students who have infirm health, have disabilities, students who are professional athletes, for example, and students who just don't get along well in the classroom. And so we have a few hundred students who are benefiting greatly from this program. It would be a pity to see that end. And I'm hoping that we can come to some sort of resolution here, perhaps in the standings bill or the education bill, so that we can allow these students, these few hundred students, to continue the program, which they desperately need.
And very briefly, Senator Kornbach, what kind of compromise are you offering?
Well, you know, the Ira Learning Online is something that is continuing to develop, or at least we're hoping so. The bulk of the enrollment is at the high school level for the virtual academies, but we do need to flesh that out a little bit more for the earlier grades. Disappointingly, however, again, we come back to a matter of money. The House is proposing to cut the Iowa Learning Online program by 2/3. So you kind of got to wonder, are they really committed to providing online education opportunities when they're proposing a 2/3 budget cut to that program?
So that's the main compromise that you're offering, is to deal with the elementary versus the high school? I mean, you said you offered some compromise to Representative Forrestal.
Well, you know, we might be willing, and I don't want to try to commit my caucus to anything here, but we might be willing to discuss in another couple of years. What the House bill did was to blow away the sunset date entirely and to make it permanent. And when you have a 50% dropout rate, I'm not willing to take that risk.
So, Representative Forrestal, very briefly.
Well, this is a very new program. It's only been in existence for 3 years. We knew from day one that it was not going to be successful for every student. It's not for every student. It's not even for 1% of the students. But please, allow those students that desperately need this service to continue.
Okay, gentlemen, we've run out of time. I want to thank you very much, Representative Greg Forrestal, Republican, and Senator Herman Kurmbach, Republican, joining us. Joyce Russell, our Iowa Public Radio correspondent, checking in with goings-on at the State House on this Monday. A few more weeks of this. We'll see if the legislature gets done with its session. I think 5 more paid days they have, and whatever they do after that, I guess, is up to them, but it will be unpaid. Tomorrow on this program, I'll be away. Guest host Emily Woodbury will be in this seat. She'll be exploring the Varnum decision, which legalized same-sex marriage in our state over 5 years ago, with the authors of Equal Before the Law, How Iowa Led Americans to Marriage Equality. Also, our legal expert Todd Pettis will join us to discuss the possible impact of the same-sex marriage cases in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury, Lindsay Moon, Claire Roth, and also thanks to Julia Davis. John Pemble helped us out in Des Moines today. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.